أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala Binasrih Al-Aziz stated that the day after tomorrow is 23rd March, and in the history of the Ahmadiyya community, the 23rd of March holds great significance, because on the 23rd of March 1889, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, laid the foundation of the Ahmadiyya community by initiating the Bayt, i.e. by taking the Pledge of Allegiance. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam's advent took place exactly in accordance with the promise of Allah the Almighty and the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At that time, the arc of Islam was extremely unsteady, and even today, religious state of the Muslims is dire. As a matter of fact, even from a political and secular perspective, their state is rather dire, despite many Muslim countries being extremely wealthy. They possess the wealth of oil, however, their importance and their dignity has completely been lost. Nevertheless, at the time when the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, took the bayt, he was extremely pained upon observing the state and condition of Islam. His heart was filled with agony. Islam was continuously being attacked by other faiths, especially by Christianity. However, there was no one to respond to them. Even the Muslim scholars of the time were afraid. In fact, it resulted in hundreds of thousands of Muslims leaving Islam and falling into the lap of Christianity. At that time, when this was the state of Islam, and when Islam was being attacked in this manner, it was Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian, alayhi salatu wassalam, who stood up by the command of Allah the Almighty and fulfilled his responsibility of defending Islam as a great champion of Allah. In response to all the religions that were present in India at the time, i.e. the Arya Samaj, Brahmo Samaj, Christianity and other faiths, and even people of no faith, and in response to everyone who was launching horrific attacks against Islam and the founder of Islam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in their writings and speeches, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, penned a series of outstanding books. In fact, he did this even prior to taking the bayt, i.e. the Pledge of Allegiance. And these books were known as Barahine Ahmadiyya. And these books are very well known. At first, there were 4 volumes in total. And in these books, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, wrote powerful responses to the enemies of Islam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, wrote the first part of this book in 1880, then in 1882, and then in 1884. In this book, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, wrote irrefutable arguments in relation to the Holy Quran being of divine origin and a unique book, and in relation to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, being a true and final prophet. Along with this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, also stated that he extended a challenge to anyone who could refute these arguments. In fact, he stated that even if they could refute only a third, a quarter, or a fifth of his arguments with their own arguments, then he would be ready to give them a reward of 10,000 rupees. And this was a huge sum of money at that time. In any case, when the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, made this announcement and published such books, the other Muslims also gained some courage that indeed Islam is a strong religion and the final religion, and that there is no need for them to worry or to be afraid of people. Furthermore, the people and the scholars at that time also praised him greatly. Due to this service rendered by the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, for Islam, some individuals even asked him to take their bayt, i.e. oath of allegiance. However, since he had not received a commandment from Allah the Almighty to do so, he did not accept the bayt at the time. But later, when Allah the Almighty's commandment was given, he initiated the bayt, and thus the community of sincere believers was established. Later, Allah the Almighty further instructed him to proclaim that he was the promised Messiah and Mahdi. In any case, before the formal initiation of bayt, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, published an announcement on 1st December 1888 under the title Tabligh. And in this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that another message that I wish to convey to the people at large and to my Muslim brothers in particular is that I have been commanded to receive an oath of allegiance, i.e. bayt, from seekers after truth who wish to acquire true faith and purity and yearn to find the path to Allah's love and want to give up their foul, slothful and false existence. Whosoever finds in himself the willingness to do this must come to me. I will be their comforter and I will do my best to ease their burden. He further stated that God will bless them through my prayers and my attention, provided they are ready heart and soul to abide by his conditions. This is a divine commandment which I have hereby conveyed. And the actual words of the revelation in Arabic are as follows: Iza azamta fatawakkal ala Allah, wasna il fulka bi ayunina wa wahyina, alladhina yubayi'unaka innama yubayi'una Allah, yadullahi fawqa aydihim. That is, when thou hast determined a matter, then trust in Allah and build the ark under our eyes and according to our instructions. Those who enter into a covenant with thee enter into a covenant with Allah. Allah's hand is above their hands. Along with this, Allah the Almighty also manifested various signs, both earthly and heavenly. Among the heavenly signs was the eclipses of the sun and the moon, regarding which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had prophesied that this is a sign of the advent of his Mahdi that was destined to appear on specific dates during the month of Ramadan. And it appeared in the Eastern Hemisphere in 1894 and in the Western Hemisphere in 1895. And as a result, many righteous-natured individuals witnessed this sign and accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. In reference to this, I would like to mention that in this Ramadan as well, Both lunar and solar eclipses have occurred or are set to occur. The moon has already eclipsed and the sun will soon eclipse, and they will occur on the same dates as the prophecy. Such eclipses may also continue to occur in the future. However, the solar and lunar eclipses that appeared in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and took place after his claim holds its own distinct significance. He had sought a clear distinction and a sign from God Almighty, and then Allah the Almighty demonstrated it. Some Ahmadis also point to these recent eclipses as signs, but Allah knows best. However, if one does consider them as signs, they should be seen as the continuation of that sign in which the claim was made 135 or 136 years ago. But I wish to clarify that the eclipse during his time appeared in both the eastern and western hemisphere, whereas this year's eclipse is occurring predominantly in the west. Thus, we cannot equate the significance of the eclipse with the one that took place during that era. Also, this year's eclipse is covering only a small portion, meaning about 25 to 30% of the sun will be covered. Whereas, during the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, the eclipse covered between 75 to 100%. In fact, when it initially began appearing and the promised Messiah alayhi salam was shown the eclipse, he remarked that while he had witnessed it, the opponents would not be affected or moved by it. However, the eclipse slowly covered more, and eventually the solar eclipse occurred. In any case, I have mentioned this here with reference to this sign. Then, on 12th January 1889, the promised Messiah alayhi salam published an announcement titled Takmeel-e-Tabligh, in which he laid out 10 conditions of Bayt, i.e. the Pledge of Allegiance. And as we know, in the Ahmadiyya community, there are 10 conditions of Bayt, and it is essential for an Ahmadi to act upon them and accept them wholeheartedly. In this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam instructed that the one taking the Bayt shall affirm that I shall abstain from shirk, i.e. association of any partner with God, right up to the day of my death, and that I shall keep away from falsehood, fornication, adultery, trespass of the eye, debauchery, dissipation, cruelty, dishonesty, mischief, and rebellion, and will not permit myself to be carried away by passions, however strong they might be. He also instructed that one should affirm that I shall pay full attention to the 5 daily prayers and offer them in accordance with the commandments of God and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and shall try my best to be regular in offering the tahajjud prayer, that I shall ask forgiveness for my sins, and that under the impulse of any passions, I shall cause no harm whatsoever to humankind, neither by my tongue nor by my hands, and that I shall remain faithful to God in all circumstances of life and remain resigned to the decree of Allah. The promised Messiah alayhi salam also instructed that one should affirm that I shall completely submit myself to the authority of the Holy Quran, i.e. to strive to seek out and act upon all the commandments of the Holy Quran and to refrain from that which Allah the Almighty has forbidden. And I shall make the word of God and the sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the guiding principle in every walk of my life. That I shall pass all my life in humbleness, cheerfulness, forbearance, and meekness, and entirely give up pride and vanity. And that I shall hold faith and the honor of faith and the cause of Islam dearer to me than my wealth and life. And that I shall endeavor to benefit mankind to the best of my God-given abilities and powers. Furthermore, that I shall observe this oath of allegiance to the promised Messiah alayhi salam till the day of my death, pledging obedience to him in everything good. In other words, whatever instructions he gives based on the Sharia, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam couldn't give any instructions outside of the Sharia, and so I shall always abide by them, for the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to propagate the religion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that I shall exert such a high devotion in the observance of this bond to the promised Messiah alayhi salam as is not to be found in any other worldly relationship. This is a summary of the conditions of Bayt that I have just mentioned. And many sincere individuals took Bayt upon these very conditions. And to this day we continue to pledge allegiance upon these conditions. We must reflect on whether we are truly acting upon all these aspects which I have just mentioned. And this serves as a reminder for us. It is due to this that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, that the Ahmadiyya community has a vast number of sincere members who not only uphold these conditions but are always prepared to sacrifice their lives, wealth, time and honour. And they remain ever ready to uphold the grandeur of religion and strive to spread the message of Islam to the world to the best of their abilities. Just as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has instructed us, we must strive to carry out the mission of preaching Islam and elevate our love for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to its highest level. The depth of love the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, had in his heart for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is beautifully captured in one of his writings. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, writes, I always wonder how high the status was of this Arabian prophet, whose name was Muhammad, thousands of blessings and peace be upon him. One cannot reach the limit of his high status, and it is not given to man to estimate correctly his spiritual effectiveness. It is a pity that his rank has not been recognized as it should have been. He was the champion who restored to the world the unity of God, which had disappeared from the world. He loved God in the extreme, and his soul melted out of sympathy for mankind. Therefore, God, who knew the secret of his heart, exalted him above all the prophets, and all the first ones and the last ones, and bestowed upon him in his lifetime all that he desired. He is the fountainhead of every grace, and a person who claims any superiority without acknowledging his grace. In other words, if someone makes any claim of piety without acknowledging the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's grace, is not a man but is the spawn of Satan, because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has been bestowed the key to every exaltation. In this way, on countless occasions, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has spoken about the lofty rank of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. At one instance, the promised Messiah states, the man who in his being and his attributes and his actions and through his spiritual and holy faculties set an example of perfection in knowledge and action and in sincerity and steadfastness and was called the perfect man. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, the man who was most perfect as man and as prophet and came with full blessings and who through a spiritual revival and resurrection manifested the first judgment in the world and revived the dead world. That blessed prophet, the seal of the prophets, the leader of the righteous ones, the pride of the prophets, was Muhammad, the chosen one, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. O our Lord, send down on that beloved prophet that mercy and blessing that thou hast not sent down on anyone since the beginning of the world. Hence, it was on account of this, of such love for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that Allah the Almighty commissioned him for the task of reviving Islam. Now, he is the only one who will fulfill this task, and Allah the Almighty told him that on account of his love and devotion, he also conferred upon him the rank of being the promised Messiah and Mahdi and instructed him to announce it. Allah the Almighty told him that he would fulfill his promise of reviving Islam in the latter days and that this duty was now entrusted to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. These were the objectives for which the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was commissioned, and he indeed did true justice in fulfilling them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, advised the community and said that having pledged allegiance to him, they should remember that Allah the Almighty has stated that the promised Messiah would be accompanied by people resembling the companions. Thus, when this is what Allah the Almighty has stated, then those who enter into his allegiance, vowing to uphold the honour of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and to uphold the honour of Islam, and to propagate Islam to the corners of the world, then we must adopt the qualities of the companions. Whilst elaborating upon this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, reflect over the sacrifices made by the companions of our perfect guide for the sake of their God and Messenger. They were exiled, persecuted, made to bear all sorts of misfortune, and gave their lives. However, they continue to advance with sincerity and devotion. So what was it that made them so truly devoted? It was the ray of the fervor of that true divine love which had penetrated their hearts. Therefore, no matter which prophet one compares him to, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, cannot be matched, whether it be with respect of his teaching, his purification of souls, turning the hearts of his followers cold to the world, or valiantly sacrificing blood for the sake of truth. They exhibited such devotion the like of which cannot be found. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, "This is the rank of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Moreover, the mutual love and affection that existed among them has been illustrated by Allah in two sentences. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ." In other words, the affection between them could never be fostered even if a mountain of gold had been spent for this purpose. The love and affection which Allah the Almighty established among them could not have otherwise been established even if heaps of wealth were to be gathered. This is a love which is established by Allah the Almighty on account of their sincerity, devotion, and the fact that they were ready to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and Islam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "Now another community is that of the promised Messiah, which is to develop within itself the hue of the companions." This was the model set before us by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that in following this example, if we have pledged allegiance to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was to come in order to fulfill the mission of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Hence he said that this community must adopt the hue of the companions. The companions were a pious community, and the Holy Quran is replete with their praises. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "Are you like them?" He asks us whether we are like them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "God says that the people who will accompany the promised Messiah would stand shoulder to shoulder with the companions." The companions were those who sacrificed their wealth and homeland in the way of truth. They abandoned everything. Most would have heard the incident of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. On one occasion, when people were instructed to sacrifice their wealth in the way of God, he brought all the possessions he owned at home. When the noble messenger, peace be upon him, inquired of him as to what he had left at home, he replied that, "I have left God and his messenger at home." This was the passion which the companions showed, an example which is found in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, "The companions may be considered as ones who were martyrs in the cause of Allah. For them it was decreed, whether they were physically martyred or their blood was spilled, their sacrifices alone rendered them with the rank of martyrdom. And it was decreed that paradise lay beneath the shadow of the swords. They were always ready beneath the swords. But we are not faced with such trying circumstances, because for us it was decreed that yada'ul harb, that is, there would be no war in the era of the Mahdi. Hence, we should take advantage of the few opportunities for sacrifices which Allah the Almighty has given us. And for this, we must fulfill our pledge of sacrificing our life, wealth, and time." And having expressed the greatest love for the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, by pledging allegiance to him, because he is the representative of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then we must act upon this expression as well. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, imparted a great deal of advice to the community. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that if we have pledged allegiance to him, then he requires something in order for us to do justice to this pledge. And what does he require? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that we should read the Holy Quran, but not as a storybook. If we wish to do justice to our pledge of allegiance, i.e. Bayt, then the first condition is to read the Holy Quran, but not as a storybook or as mere tales. It must be read with deep understanding. In the previous Friday sermon, I drew attention towards reading the Holy Quran and presented sayings and guidance from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Whilst elaborating upon this and highlighting the condition of the people, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "You can now see with your own eyes how people melodiously and beautifully recite the Holy Quran, but the Quran does not go deeper than their throats. Their recitation may be exceptional, but they are unable to understand the message. Despite reciting it well, they are oblivious to its meanings. All that they possess are beautiful voices." The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "Therefore the Holy Quran, which is also named the Reminder, came in this early period to remind people of the hidden and forgotten truths and innate qualities within man." The Holy Quran has come for all times. In the past and present, the Quran has been revealed to uncover its verities. In light of the firm promise made by Allah the Exalted, "Inna lahu lahafizun," that is, "Most surely we will safeguard the Quran." Even in the present era, a teacher has come from heaven who is the awaited one, in fulfillment of the following verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, that among others from among them who have not yet joined them. And that man is the one who speaks to you now. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "I now return to the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, concerning precisely this era, when people would recite the Holy Quran, but it would not go beyond their throats." He further states, "Our opponents, rather those who disparage Allah the Almighty's promise," that is, not just our opponents, but those who entirely deny Allah's promise, and in fact, they disregard the teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, are extremely unfortunate. These people claim to understand the Holy Quran, but in fact lack practical action. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "It is indeed lamentable that when someone attempts to counsel them sincerely and compassionately, they make no effort to comprehend. If the one sent to guide them and to show them kindness and care for them tries to advise them, they do not pay attention." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "If they choose not to strive to understand, that is their choice, but at least they should listen to what is being said and cease in their needless opposition." The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Yet why would they listen? It seems their predicament is such that they simply cannot listen, for listening requires attentive ears and the capacity to hear. Only then can one truly hear. Allah the Almighty urges patience and positive thinking, and yet these people refuse to exercise these virtues. Their intention is solely opposition." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "Had Allah not turned His grace towards the earth, Islam today, like other religions, would be considered a mere tale or a dead tradition." The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "A lifeless religion cannot impart life to others, but Islam today remains prepared to give life. Yet, it is God's unchanging practice that He accomplishes His works through means and causes, though these means may or may not be visible to people." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "Nevertheless, Allah the Almighty utilizes such means regardless of human perception. Undoubtedly, causes and means exist. Likewise, heavenly lights descend and take the shape of earthly means. The divine light descending from Allah the Almighty transforms into diverse forms and various means in order to accomplish His purpose." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, "When Allah the Almighty found the era of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, plunged in darkness and misguidance, with dark clouds of wrongdoing and gloom sweeping over the earth in every direction, He raised the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, shining forth as a brilliant lamp from the mountains of Faran, to dispel the darkness and to transform misguidance into guidance and virtue. Thus the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that I have appeared in this age because with the passage of time, the actions of clerics, people and of Muslims have tried to weaken that original light, though it cannot be weakened, but it has become obscured from perception. And Allah the Almighty has sent me to demonstrate to the world that this light still shines. If you wish to witness this light, see it through my eyes. Allah the Almighty has made me a means for this. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that I am indeed sent by Allah the Almighty. Accept me if you wish, or reject me if you so wish. It is entirely your decision. Nevertheless, there is no doubt that I am sent by Allah the Almighty, and I am absolutely convinced of this, as are those who follow me. Allah the Almighty has sent me in complete subservience to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, during times of opposition against Islam, the movement established by God Almighty would indeed be the movement of the promised Messiah. To counter the opposition and to revive Islam, the movement established would certainly belong to the promised Messiah. Therefore, in the Hadith, through his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah named the promised Messiah as the breaker of the cross. Indeed, every reformer is sent to rectify the specific disorder prevalent in their era. And so if one contemplates sincerely, it becomes evident that writings and speeches in favor of the Christian concept of salvation through the cross have reached such unprecedented levels that history does not record such fervent advocacy of falsehood in any other era. The writings of those who support this corruption spread by the cross have exceeded their limits, and the Christian message was everywhere. It was particularly prevalent in that era, as I have mentioned earlier, that they were spreading their message far and wide. And Muslims themselves were rapidly adopting Christianity. And never before had such efforts been so intensely pursued as they were then. Thus, to counteract this, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, severe, cruel and false attacks have been made against the true concept of Tawheed, i.e. the oneness of God, the chastity, honour and truthfulness of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the divine origin of Allah's book. And so given such hostility, should not the honour of God demand the advent of the breaker of the cross at this juncture? Indeed, according to Allah's promise, such a person was destined to appear precisely during such a crisis. And though Christianity may not hold the same dominance today as it once did, however, attacks on the honour and dignity of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and assaults on the Holy Quran continue to this day. Today, individuals from diverse groups, including atheists, secularists, opponents of Islam, and followers of various other religions, engage shamelessly and offensively in these attacks. And even today, it remains the responsibility of the community of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam to refute these people decisively and provide reasoned answers and uphold the honour, chastity and truthfulness of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and play a vital role in safeguarding the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, has Allah the Almighty forgotten his promise? Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Remember, Allah's promises are truthful. Allah the Almighty promised that as he revealed the Holy Quran, he shall indeed protect it, and Allah is truthful to his word. And according to his promise, he has indeed sent a warner according to his promise. Whether the world accepts him or not, Allah will surely accept him and powerfully manifest his truthfulness. I solemnly declare that I am the promised Messiah, sent by Allah in fulfillment of his promise. Accept me or reject me as you wish, yet your rejection will accomplish nothing. God Almighty's decree will certainly prevail, as He has already declared in Brahine Ahmadiyya, Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluhu wa kana wa'adam maf'oola. That is, Allah and His Messenger spoke the truth, and this promise was bound to be fulfilled. Thus, it is vital that the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was to spread throughout the entire world, and indeed it will, because he came in subservience to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in order to propagate the religion brought by him, which was to be the final religion. Allah the Almighty has sent down this religion, and He would cause it to spread throughout the world, irrespective of whether there is opposition from Muslims or non-Muslims, for their opposition is bound to fail. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that an allegation is leveled as to why he was sent, i.e. the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Many Muslims level this allegation. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, replies by saying that do the deeds of the Muslims not warrant that a reformer should be sent? The religious clerics raise a hue and cry as to why the promised Messiah was sent. However, they ought to reflect over their own deeds. Their own actions warrant the need of a reformer. Explaining this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that if the deeds of people who call themselves Muslims are truly worthy of as being called good deeds, then why do they not result in positive outcomes? These people fail to understand this and state that what about us is un-Islamic. We proclaim La ilaha illallah and also observe the prayers. We fast during the days of Ramadan and pay the zakat. However, I declare that all of these actions of theirs are not good deeds in the true sense. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that they are mere shell that is empty of the kernel. They are like a shell which is hollow. For if their actions were good deeds in the true sense, why do they not bring about positive results? Allah the Almighty has promised that good deeds produce positive results. But why is this not happening? Is the deplorable condition of the Muslims of this age not an indication that there is something wrong? It shows that there is some deficiency as a result of which Allah the Almighty's promise is not being fulfilled. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, continues, good deeds are characterized by the quality of being pure from all forms of corruption and adulteration. But where can such qualities be found in these people? They make claims that they pray and fast, but they are devoid of righteousness. Thus, they ought to assess their own conditions, and they will come to know whether they possess these ill traits or not. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated that the conditions of the time indicate the need for a reformer. And in fact, this is the very slogan they raise today. Some people raise the slogan that we are in need of a reformer. Witnessing the state of the Muslim world, there is a dire need for someone to come and reform them. But they do not accept the one that has been sent by Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states that the manner in which the Christians have launched attacks against Islam, or the onslaughts by followers of other religions or atheists, and the way in which the Muslims are falling victim to these attacks, whereby they are moving away from religion, necessitates that a reformer should come to guide people towards the right path. And the promised Messiah alayhi salam has claimed that he is the reformer sent by Allah the Almighty in this era. He states, even if I had no argument in my support, the Muslims still ought to have wandered frantically in search of the Messiah and asked why he has not yet appeared. Even if the promised Messiah alayhi salam did not present any argument in his favor, even then they ought to have went out in search of him, having witnessed the conditions of that time. The Muslims should have not engaged him in disputes with themselves, for his purpose was to break the cross. When the Messiah was to appear, he was to refute Christianity, he was to refute atheists and people of no faith. This was precisely the need of the hour in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, when he made his claim, and it is the same today. This is why he was named the promised Messiah. If the Muslim clergy had the well-being of mankind in view, they surely would not have acted in this manner. They would have realized that nothing is to be accomplished by issuing edicts against me. When God says that a certain thing should be, who has the power to say that it should not be? In a way, my opponents are actually my servants and helpers, because they convey my message to the East and to the West. The opposition we face is also a means of propagating our message and is a major source of tabligh for us. Therefore, no matter how hard they may try and destroy the community of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, those same efforts become the means of propagating his message. In one place, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, Allah the Almighty is more merciful than a compassionate mother. He does not wish for his creation to be wasted. He reveals to you the paths of guidance and light. But in order to tread these paths, you must utilize your reason and purify your souls. Just as planting does not occur until the soil is plowed to prepare it, so too, pure reason cannot descend from heaven until souls are purified through strenuous efforts and rigorous self-discipline. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further writes, In this age, God has shown immense grace, and since he has great honor for his religion and his prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he has sent a man who speaks to you now so that he may invite you towards this light. If the present era had not been plagued by such corruption and disorder, and efforts to expunge religion had not been undertaken, then there would be no issue whatsoever. However, at present you can observe from east to west that nations are preoccupied in removing all traces of Islam. And these efforts have greatly increased in the current times. If there was no opposition to Islam, then there would be no need for the advent of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. But today we can witness that 136 years have elapsed since the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, made his claim. And until now, this opposition is only increasing. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, People, i.e. opponents, say to me that I have started a business, whereas this is not a business in the slightest. The job of the promised Messiah was to propagate the faith and establish a religious enterprise. Indeed, if one must assign this enterprise a name, then this is a religious endeavor. If you wish to know the truth, then know that it is as though I am dead to worldly preoccupations. With respect to worldly ventures, his case is like the dead. I am devoted to the faith and my entire mission is religious in nature, as has always been the case with the past saints and holy men of Islam. My mission is no new undertaking, but my task is to dispel those beliefs which pose a danger to the people in every respect. In other words, to remove harmful innovations and to purge their hearts is our true desire and objective. This was because many erroneous innovations had taken root, and certain wrong beliefs have been introduced in Islam, and we have to safeguard the world and Muslims from it. We are to establish the true faith, which is the teachings of the Holy Quran. And this was the very purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, and to show the true reality of the false religions. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that his purpose was to reveal the true reality of the false religions and to show the spiritual light of Islam and to establish the lofty rank and status of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. In relation to the lofty rank of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, So bear in mind that in revealing the Holy Book, i.e. the Holy Quran, and sending the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, Allah the Exalted has desired to manifest to the world a magnificent sign of mercy. And to this effect, Allah the Exalted states, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ That we have sent thee not but as a mercy for all peoples. Similarly, Allah the Almighty states that he sent down the Holy Quran for the following purpose, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ That it is a guidance for the righteous. These are such grand objectives that they are second to none. And it is for this very reason that Allah the Almighty willed for all the individual excellences of the past prophets, peace be upon them, to culminate in the person of Allah's Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and for all the merits and excellences found in the various scriptures to be encapsulated in the Holy Quran, and for all the qualities of the past nations to be gathered in this Ummah. Hence, God Almighty desires for us to attain these excellences. And so one must not forget that just as God wishes to confer upon us these supreme excellences, he has blessed us with faculties in equal degree. For if we had not been given faculties that accorded in strength, we would never have been able to attain these excellences in any way whatsoever. Thus, Allah the Almighty has bestowed us with these faculties and a teaching and also outlined our objective. Now it is our responsibility to make every effort to try and attain those objectives. The promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that this was the purpose of his advent in this world and the reason he was sent by Allah the Almighty. Drawing attention to this teaching, he states, "Thus ponder over these matters as to how we can propagate the teachings and religious law given to us by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to the rest of the world, instead of just opposing me." The promised Messiah alayhi salam stated with regards to the Holy Prophet being a perfect prophet, that Allah the Exalted has blessed us with a prophet who is the seal of the believers, the seal of the pious, and the seal of the prophets. Similarly, God Almighty revealed upon him a book which is a seal of books, a book which comprehensively encapsulates all others. When it is said that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets, and that prophethood has reached its end in him, this does not imply that prophethood has ended as one brings about the end of someone by strangling them to death. This sort of an end is not worthy of honor. In fact, when it is said that prophethood has come to an end in the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, this means that the excellences of prophethood have reached their climax in his person. In other words, all the various excellences that were granted to the prophets from Adam to Jesus, son of Mary, certain qualities to some and different qualities to others, were all combined in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And in this way, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, naturally became the seal of the prophets. In the same manner, all the teachings, guidance, and insights given in various books came to their final point of completion when they culminated in the Holy Quran. And so the Holy Quran became the seal of the books. He further writes, "It should also be understood that the allegation which is leveled against my community and I, that we do not believe in the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, to be the seal of the prophets, is a grave calumny against us. Our critics do not believe in the Holy Prophet as being the seal of the prophets, even one part of 100,000, as compared to the strength, certainty, divine understanding and insight with which we believe it, nor do they have it within themselves to do so. They do not grasp the underlying essence and secret in the seal of prophethood and the seal of the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They have merely heard this term from their forefathers, but they are ignorant of its true essence and do not know what the seal of prophethood means and what it means to believe in this concept. However, Allah the Almighty knows well that we believe with perfect insight that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is the seal of prophets. Moreover, God Almighty has disclosed to us the true essence of the seal of prophethood in such a way that the intense pleasure which we derive from the drink of divine insight that we have been given to drink cannot be understood by anyone other than those who have been satiated by this fountain. Thus, this is the teaching, status, and objective for which the promised Messiah alayhi salam's advent took place, and the purpose of establishing the Jamaat and instructing his Jamaat to offer sacrifices and spread the message to the world and propagate the religion of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets, to the corners of the world, and not to rest until the rule of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the unity of God is established in the whole world. This was the very purpose of the promised Messiah's advent, and this is the significance of our faith. And if we understand the significance of this faith and consider ourselves to be those who do justice to our oath of allegiance, i.e. Ba'ath, then we too must ponder over these matters. When we fulfill these objectives, then we will achieve the purpose of our lives as well as the purpose of our pledge of allegiance, and we will attain the pleasure and nearness of Allah the Almighty. During the days of Ramadan, through prayers, increasing our knowledge, learning the Holy Quran, and practically spreading the message, we should become wholly devoted in this work, so that we may swiftly raise the flag of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him in the world, and bring the world to submit before the one God. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so. In the end, I wish to request prayers for the Ahmadis in Pakistan. May Allah the Almighty bring ease to their circumstances. These days, the opponents are exerting every effort and are trying to inflict harm in every way, whether on account of the minarets or domes of the mosques, or due to offering prayers. They look for any excuse for the sole purpose of causing harm to the Ahmadis. May Allah the Almighty protect all of them. Also, pray generally for the Muslim world as well, that may Allah the Almighty grant them sense and wisdom and improve their conditions and have mercy on them. A new wave of injustices against the Palestinian Muslims has begun. Pray that may Allah the Almighty protect them against these cruelties, and may He have mercy upon them.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر